Find a button on your car radio for us. You never know what you might stumble across here on Voice of Vashon at 101.9 FM, KVSHLP, Vashon Island, Washington.
To Stirring the Pot on Voice of Vashon, Vashon Island, Washington. I'm Linda Nygaard. I'm going to be your host for the next 30 minutes. And we're going to have Tom Conway entertaining us today. Hi, Tom.
Bonjour, mademoiselle.
Tom kind of rescued me today. We had a cancellation of guest, and Tom was kind enough to say that he'd come in and chat with us for a while. So,
well, and it didn't hurt that I was sort of hanging out by the studio door.
You were
doing
not.
Tic-tac-toe and whistling.
He needed something to do.
And whittling and making macrame belts.
Well, I bought a belt.
So that was good. Right.
Yeah, it's really nice, but I'm going to save it for a special occasion.
Okay.
Okay. So, hi, everybody. We're glad you're here. Welcome. And
Yay. Today,
gosh, it looks like summertime out there.
I know. It's
the
so
sun's
nice.
Out. It's hot. Well, 65.
Works for me.
That's kind of hot.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was thinking.
I thought you were talking about us. we're kind of hot.
Well, we are hot.
Yeah.
But, you know, aside from that. Okay. So it's almost July 4th. And I don't know if everybody else thinks this about July 4th, but I always think about barbecue when it's summertime. So today we're going to talk about barbecue and grilling. And what I think I want to ask you is, do you barbecue or do you grill, Tom?
You know, I grew up in a family where I don't think we ever said barbecue. Barbecue was sort of what the sauce was,
mm-hmm.
and we would grill. And so... in fact, I think it was so foreign to me that I just always use the abbreviation BBQ because I couldn't spell it. It's like, This is foreign.
Well, you know, there are differences of opinion about what is what in the grilling mm-hmm. and the barbecuing world. Some say, like you did, the barbecue sauce makes it barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
Some say, and I think this is right, or the one I would agree with, is that barbecue is a method of cooking that requires indirect heat for a longer period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Grilling is usually... direct over the fire.
Yeah, that's with us. Grilling was because you know I grew up in a time when steaks were cheap, and my dad liked them, and so we would. It was about throwing a slab of meat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was very Fred mm-hmm. Flintstone,
yeah.
And the basic technique was not burning it to a crisp.
Well, speaking of Fred Flintstone and barbecue, and I was raised on a ranch in Montana with our own beef, right?
Mm.
So we had lots of steaks, and it was like, oh man, steak again, you know, but. My parents had it. This is my first introduction, I think, to grilling. They had an old wood cook stove that they kept in the yard outside.
God love them.
I know. And it was just fun. They had all the neighbors and all the friends.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they'd put the wood in there and get that thing really hot and slap steaks on it and fry it right on that cast iron stove. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah. And then next to it would be a grill for something else, you know. But
you know, it's funny that you... bring that up because my great uncle, Uncle Mike, who was Lebanese, and he lived in this bit, his family lived in a big old house in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And in the basement, because my great aunt Esther would not have him in her kitchen. So he had this commercial at that time, like this huge commercial oven moved to the basement, or not a range. And he had it basically pulled apart so it was just exposed flames so he could do shish kebab. And so there he is in the basement of a big old house.
Oh my goodness.
Cooking lamb shish kebab and not burning it down,
I guess. But I bet it was delicious.
It was awesome.
I bet it was delicious.
Yeah, with homemade Assyrian bread.
Well, as you might expect, I did a little bit of reading before we came to the studio. And what I learned was that the first evidence of man cooking around fire... is almost 2 million years ago. Now, those were not humans, right?
No, they were Homo erectus.
We've done
a little research.
Yeah, we did a little research.
Because we said,
humans.
I wasn't no Homo sapiens.
Not at that time.
Not at that time.
No, so...
I watched PBS.
I didn't get it from PBS.
No. I'm sorry. You were born with that knowledge.
Yeah, it's in my DNA. So anyway, there's a cave in Africa. And there were archaeologists in this cave, and they found evidence of ashes, of fire burning in the cave. So they dug down through it and collected it and found that after they processed it a certain way that they do, they found bits of animal hair and bones, along with the ashes. So they knew that, you know, somebody was cooking in there. Mm-hmm. So that's the first reference to
And you wonder what, like, what that first moment was.
Like, was it mammoth?
They figure out that if you heated something up, you know, and made it a totally different form, like, you know, it was like, hey, Mel, look over there. that thing that we're going to call lightning later caused this thing we're going to call fire.
Yeah. And well, that was even before the Flintstones. It was before the Flintstones, even.
Way.
So, anyway, that's like the first history, and there's not much that we know about that. But it
no, there's not.
They didn't leave us much of a record.
There was not a barbecue guide.
But the first reference to barbecue in North America was in 1540, and that was near Tupelo, Mississippi. Where her
was that Paula Deen? Was it?
No.
Oh, 1540. I'm sorry.
We don't mention her name on the show,
sorry.
Please.
My apologies.
Thank you. Hernando de Soto, who was an explorer, and he saw that the Chickasaw tribe was barbecuing, and that's how they learned that. So there's quite a history.
So you wonder what, like, Europeans, were they just stewing stuff and just, you know, putting it in pots? They must not have been, you'd think that, you know, they can build a galleon. They would have figured out grilling.
Well, the French probably did.
Yeah, probably.
But I doubt the English did, you know.
Yeah, and I don't think the Germans grilled sausages.
Well, actually, you know, the Germans had a big influence on some of the regional American barbecue sauces.
Really?
Yeah, they did. The South has a penchant for cooking pork, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they like to use Carolina vinegar,
mm-hmm.
based barbecue sauce.
Right.
And then you move a little further west and you get into some mustard bases, North Carolina mustard base, vinegar base. South Carolina, French and German immigrants there introduced a mustard base. Then you have Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And Texas is spicy and sweet.
Nice.
And really mesquite. And mm-hmm. I love Texas barbecue. So therein lies the lesson of the day.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. Because I would use with when I would barbecue, or it wasn't really grilling. I'd smoke. It's more about smoking.
Mm-hmm.
My best garage sale find was one of those giant, they look like an oil drum, and they have a chimney on them.
Oh, yes. Is it like cut in half lengthways?
Right. And then it lifts up. It's hinged.
Oh, those are wonderful.
And you make the best ribs because it just takes like all day just to do a slow smoke.
It does.
Cook.
Yeah. And I love the process of taking all that time and, you know, figuring out if you need more wood or maybe you don't. I like that a lot. And speaking of grills, there are so many different kinds now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you prefer a wood or a gas or a charcoal? What do you know about charcoal?
You know, it's kind of like a timeline of my laziness. when I was totally into it, I had this great grill that it was like a Weber type, mm-hmm. sort of an offshoot of a Weber. And I would use wood because I had it on the island. You know, when mm-hmm. I was in Seattle, I'd use propane, but here I have a huge amount of wood. And so then I would get coals going. And so it'd be kind of like a 2-hour process. I wouldn't just get the fire the way you wanted it.
And make it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now that I'm like, you know, teetering on Geezerville, I'm kind of thinking like, I might go get me one of them charcoal, those propane numbers that are on like a little stand.
Well, they're pretty easy to operate.
They're really
easy. But you know
what?
There are so many beautiful grills right now. Do you know about the ceramic egg?
Yeah.
It's for like $2,000.
Yeah. I think the smallest one's $800.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah. And you can basically poach an egg on it.
You can do anything you want to do on it. Yeah. And then there's another one. There's a new one called Kudu. Made in Japan, and it has different levels of grills. It's a round charcoal grill,
mm-hmm.
and then it's got a shelf, like a rack, and then it's got another rack above it that's held up by a pipe.
Huh.
So like with the mics, you have a little wing nut, and you can adjust the level of the
that's
shelves.
That's pretty cool.
So there's two or three shelves, and you can cook indirect and direct. And it's very complicated. I'm not interested in that, but.
Yeah. When I was a kid, we lived in Japan for several years. And one of my favorite things my mom and dad purchased there, but it was used as a little coffee table. But it was a Japanese, it was a, like a high-fired porcelain, one of the most beautiful ceramic things I've ever seen. But it was a hibachi.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what it was used for, but with a glass top on top, it was our magazine rack.
Well, you know, speaking of hibachi, there must be early barbecue stories and grilling from Asia.
Oh, yeah, for
there
sure.
There have to be.
You know.
There have to be. The, yeah, the, I'm going to look
the culture
a little more.
That brought us fireworks certainly knew what they were doing.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. So do you know, do you have any barbecue cookbooks? Do you like to read people's ideas about barbecue? Like maybe Steven Reichlin or Bobby Flay, or do you know, are you aware of them?
You know, my only gripe about it is usually the luxury of shows that do grilling is they always do some of the most expensive cuts of meat. Like they're doing ribeyes in Porterhouse and things that are, you know, a $30 or $40 cut of meat. So I'm always interested when they do something that isn't a $40 cut
like
of meat.
Like flank steak, which you can't,
which
you know,
used to be, you know.
Yeah, but you have to cook it low and slow. And people
exactly.
now are into searing and fast and...
Right.
Let me have it. I want it right now. Well, I learned a lot from Steven Reichlin, and I think he's a really...
No, he's awesome.
He's really fairly down to earth, and, you know, his big philosophy is just do it, and you'll burn a few things, and maybe
just
you won't.
Just grill it.
And just do it.
Yeah.
Just deal. What's your favorite thing to barbecue?
You know,
grill.
To grill? I would say it's in the meat area... I really like ribs because it is one of those things where it's like they're so much better if you do them than if you get a rib. It's not like there's really a bad, if it's done halfway right, a bad rib. But if you do it yourself, there is. I know. Usually they just pour a lot of sauce on it to sort of
hide
the
mistake.
And then
you like the sauce. If you like the sauce.
Yeah. Yeah. But when I would take like a full rack and smoke it with Old Bay seasoning, which people usually do for seafood, but I liked it on.
Oh, really?
On,
that's a good idea.
And then when you can sort of start pulling it off, then you
put the sauce on.
Then you put the sauce on. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, speaking of barbecue sauce, do you make your own or do you doctor up an already bottled one?
You know, I had a little stint where I would make it myself and then I would be, again, I sound like such a cheapskate, but, but I would have like $38 worth of ingredients in a grocery bag. And I'm going like, you know what? KC Masterpiece is
pretty
good. You know?
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of good barbecues that people, you know, they basically have made their fortunes from. So I'll just, it's nice. It's $3.79. It comes in a bottle and voila.
I think it's really good too. Yeah. I do like to make my own. And I learned how to make it from a woman in Texas who lives in New Braunfels, Texas. And she uses a mix of ketchup and cider vinegar and brown sugar. And the two spices that she puts in are smoked paprika and cumin.
Oh, that sounds
really
good.
And it's really nice.
And well, she should know because New Braunfels is where my grill was made, the big tanker, seriously. And it
really?
Was, yeah, that's where...
Well, it is Texas barbecue heaven in New Braunfels.
And,
yeah.
You know, there is a barbecue sauce. It's not really a barbecue sauce. When I lived in Alaska, that was... kind of hands down what everybody did up there. They had a halibut thing, but that wasn't really grilling. But for salmon, what you did is you sort of basted it in oil or olive oil.
Yeah.
There wasn't really much olive oil up there at that time. So it was like an oil. And then you put it skin side down on a hot fire. And then, but you didn't flip it. You didn't flip it.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the top, when it started plumping, you basted it in brown sugar, butter, lemon juice, and then if you wanted spice, some cayenne.
Mm.
And it wasn't like this huge globular sauce. It was really pretty light. And then you just kept basting. You usually put like a little cover over it.
That sounds really good.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I like that a lot. Well, grilling it's an opportunity to explore a lot of different flavors and a lot of different foods that you wouldn't ordinarily think about grilling.
Yeah. Do you consider it grilling if you have like someday in my cooking aspiration, I'm going to have a big badass stove you know, with a grill in house, you know, where that center section.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever used one of those?
I have.
What do you think?
Well, I think they're great.
Yeah.
And yeah, I would say that's grilling.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, grilling is an outside thing. It's just an outdoor thing. And part of it is the ritual and the, you know, lighting the fire, however you want to do that. It's just that you're outside and there's air and there's beer and there's people. And, you know, to me, that's what it is. And so I have a few more topics we're going to talk about. But right now, we want to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
VOV programming support is provided by Pandora's Box, Vashon Island's provider of quality pet foods at competitive prices. With over 100 years of combined knowledge and experience in pet care and pet nutrition, you'll find Pandora's Box on Vashon Highway, north of the main intersection.
This portion of VOV programming is brought to you by Minglement, Vashon Island's natural marketplace for the conscious consumer, where owners, staff, and customers alike embrace the importance of natural, organic, and non-GMO food and products, along with supplements, tinctures, gifts, bulk teas, spices, and herbs. Find them at Center, where the town of Vashon originated.
And we're back. I'm Linda Nygaard. You're listening to Stirring the Pot, and I'm sitting here in the studio with Tom Conway. And Mr. Jeff Fletcher is running the board for me. And we also have a special guest today who's not going to speak, but my son Ryan is here, and he knows all about barbecues that we used to do, but he's taking some pictures and doing some fun things for us. So if you hear some rattling around in the background, that's what it is. And I thought, now let's talk about just some interesting little fun facts about barbecue. Do you know that when the Revolutionary War was over, on the cornerstone of the Capitol building, they had a barbecue. That's how they celebrated.
Oh.
They had a barbecue. And a lot of our presidents were known to be big fans of laid-back barbecues. George Washington's diaries have a lot of barbecue in it, and how much he loved to sit around and have a drink and eat that wonderful meat.
Well, that makes sense, because you know what the most popular day is for barbecuing?
Well, probably July 4th.
Correctamundo.
Oh, yeah. Independence. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I got that. We said that at the beginning.
Did we?
Yeah. Somebody wasn't listening. That's okay.
Someone's a senior.
Yeah. And then, and then some inventors. Guess who built the first commercial charcoal factory?
Oh, I know.
Do you know?
I do, because I watch PBS.
Okay. Who was it?
Well, it was Henry Ford.
It was Henry Ford. No, it wasn't.
It was. Yes, you're right. It was
Thomas Edison designed
really?
It.
Okay, but it
Henry
was Kingsford.
Ford built it.
But the Kingsford guy from Kingsford Charcoal was the one who invented it.
Oh.
And so
then they had to.
But, and so then Henry Ford basically contacted him, or they got together, because he wanted to find a way to use scrap wood. Doesn't that sound delicious? From the Ford Model T factory.
Yeah, but their wood probably wasn't treated like ours is.
No, exactly.
So it was probably just
so
wood.
It was wood compressed with sodium nitrate, and I'm not sure why. And what was the other thing in it? The sawdust, wood chips, compression, sodium nitrate, and starch to hold it together.
I wonder, do they still make it the same way?
They do, I think.
Well, that's not so bad.
I'm still alive.
I'm still alive too. That's good.
But you can also buy the good old, when we were growing up in the old West, you couldn't really buy like mesquite, or real wood charcoal.
Right. What else do you know, Tom?
Well, okay. How about this? What's the most popular grilling item?
Hamburger.
Oh, darn it. You're so smart.
Yeah.
Okay. What comes in second place?
Hot dogs.
Close, but no.
Sausage.
Nah. Steaks.
Steaks.
See? That 1%.
Yeah. Porterhouse, no doubt.
Porterhouse, no doubt. And the fourth item is...
Chicken, of course.
The most common side dishes?
Coleslaw. Beans.
Well, beans and potatoes and corn.
Not coleslaw?
Yeah, I was surprised by that. This was probably not a sample from the South.
It couldn't have been.
No. Where I grew up, if you didn't have coleslaw,
you gotta have it.
You go back to the kitchen.
Yeah, right now.
Yep.
Quick, smart. How about vegetables? Do you like to grill vegetables?
You know, I do, but I find them a little troublesome. You know, you need to, well, you need to get one of those. You know what it is? It's kind of like your clafouti. It's kind of like
don't
you
start on my clafouti.
No,
again.
I won't. But it's kind of like you want to like it more than you do. And then you kind of, but certain things are really good grilled. Like,
eggplant.
Eggplant is exactly one of those things. Corn is great. Asparagus, I think, is really good.
Zucchini.
Zucchini is okay.
Yeah, but zucchini you can make good. Actually,
no,
you really can make it good.
That's true.
If you grill it with olive oil and some garlic, and then at the end, when you're going to serve it, sprinkle it with some Parmesan cheese, and it's a really nice...
No, that's true.
And I am not a zucchini fan.
Do you do discs, or do you do long ways?
Long ways.
Oh, okay. Maybe it's because I was doing discs.
Oh, don't do discs.
On the bias for a fancier look.
Oh, fancy, fancy. Well, fancy, you're a fancy
zucchini.
Man.
Well, I'm a fancy man with my diagonally cut zucchini.
Yeah, well, how about apples?
Grill them?
Mm-hmm. Have you ever grilled an apple?
No.
Well, there's a way to do it.
What next? Peaches?
Well, of course, peaches. I always grill peaches. But apples, you just core them like you're going to make a baked apple. Mm-hmm. You stuff it with some brown sugar and whatever you want to put in there, some butter and some cinnamon.
Ah.
And then wrap it in foil and set it on your barbecue grill away from the heat while you're grilling all your meat and your vegetables.
Oh.
And then when you're done, you just shut the lid and let it sit in there while everybody's eating and having a great time. And then everybody gets their little apple in their little foil.
Mm.
And you probably have some ice cream to serve with it. And you've got dessert. And that's, it's hot.
Did you do that in Montana?
No. Mm-hmm. I did that on Vashon Island.
Oh, okay. You know, one of the best things I've had grilled...
We don't have apples in Montana.
Oh, I don't even want to
go there. Don't go there. Don't go there. I'm sorry I said that.
You know, one of my favorite grilling recipes came from Seattle, from a backyard in my old neighborhood of Green Lake. Uh-huh. And are you a fan of figs? Do you like figs?
Oh, I love figs. I adore them.
This is one of those things where it is that perfect, that trifecta of awesomeness, salty, sweet, and savory. And so you get fresh figs.
Okay.
And you can do it one way. If you like want a ginormous one, or if you want to, well, let's just do the bite size, because
we're polite
people here on the island. But otherwise, the other one's good, but it's a mess. You take just a half a fig, you cut them in half, you take a dollop, like a good healthy teaspoon of a soft cheese, and you can...
Chev
is what I usually use. You can go lowbrow and do cream cheese. You can go highbrow and do mascarpone. If you want more of a little. And then what you do is you take one strip of bacon and you wrap it around that little puppy. And then usually you have to put a wet toothpick so it doesn't burn. And you pop it through so it stays together. And then you put it, you don't want to put it on super direct because it'll cook too fast with all the fat. And then you just sort of slowly rotate that little fig stuffed with cheese wrapped in bacon. And you start to hear a choir singing angels.
Aww.
And then when they're finished, and you may have to make sure they're cool because it'll burn the roof of your mouth.
Oh, I bet.
And then the moment happens where the sky opens up, rays go through, you start
to
cry.
And you hear singing and things. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You probably see Jesus too. You'll see Jesus.
Well, Tom, I just barbecue and Jesus.
Uh-huh.
You should invite him.
Well,
see what he thinks.
When you cook the right food.
You know what else you can do on the grill?
No, ma'am.
Carrots.
Carrots.
Mm-hmm. And they're really, really good on the grill. Just take them whole. Take them, pick them out of your garden.
Do you skin them?
No.
Okay.
Just take the green top off.
Gotcha.
But leave a little, tiny little bit of it at the base of it. And then just put them on there with some olive oil. Keep turning them. Oh, my goodness.
Really?
They're as good as roasted carrots.
I'm going to try that because that would be good.
But it takes a while. I mean,
think that's what you do first.
You're fussing. I mean, that's part of the ritual. It's part of the party is you're fussing over the food.
You know? And a lot of people don't get when they're grilling that... You know, there are time differentials between items you cook.
Oh, right. Like you should do some first.
Which reminds me of something. Which reminds me, you can tell me, no one's listening.
Okay.
Do you have that same, I have what I call a company grilling anxiety, where when I go over to somebody's house and I'm watching them ruin meat, it's like
it
all
kills
I can do
you,
to shut
it?
My big fat mouth. Because there's no way it'll come out. There's no way you can make it work by saying, you know, I think it's ready to take off the grill.
Oh, I don't think so either.
No, you can't. No. So you just sit there and you watch it get drier and tougher or fish that is like this gorgeous cut of fish going, well, I don't think it's done yet. When you hear those horrible words, I don't like raw fish. Mm-mm. And then you go, that means
I'm at the wrong party.
That means one thing.
That's right. Well, I think, you know,
you're eating jerky.
Yeah. Well, speaking of jerky, how about Jamaicans? I mean, the barbecue that they do
is pretty exceptional. Yeah.
It's outrageous. There's a woman on the island here who I met several years ago from Jamaica, and she made some incredible Jamaican jerk chicken. And
what's nice too is, doesn't it seem like it's one of those things where it's relatively easy, or not necessarily relatively easy, but it seems like it's not that much, but then everything that comes together makes such an exceptional product at the end, you know, such an exceptional chicken or...
Oh, it does. Yeah. It does. It just tend it a little bit. Yeah, shrimp is good on the grill too. I think part of the difficulty in trying to do a whole meal on the grill, which I like to do, you know, grill some vegetables and grill a dessert and grill some meat and do it all. It's a cycle. You have to time it differently. You know, it's like in your own oven, you can do things differently. You bake carrots or you roast carrots longer than you do mushrooms or
true.
You have to keep that in mind. So that means you're playing with the fire all the time.
Yeah, you're really working it.
And you're really working it.
Do you know what we forgot?
What?
One of the best things, again, super lowbrow. It's really good. Is garlic bread, like slathered in butter and gooey garlic, and into where it's basically a sponge for the fat and the garlic,
and then you get the fire on it,
and you get the fire, so you get the super crispy outside, the chewy gooey inside.
Well, I think we better have a big community barbecue pretty soon.
Okay,
and maybe you can bring something.
Okay. Oh, you know, do you do paella on your grill?
No, I've never made paella. It's like too.
I know. I love it when people make it and invite me over.
Oh, yes. I know two women on this island who make incredible paella.
Yeah.
And, oh, man, I hope they invite me this summer. It's usually a summer.
Well, it's out there now.
Yeah. Hello. I won't say your name, but you know who you
are. Where do they live?
No, I'm not going to say
it. They have a lovely house in Burton. And one's blonde and brunette and wears green glasses. No.
So, anyway, what are you going to barbecue over the 4th, if you got some plans?
You know, what I like to sort of, I'm sort of perfecting now are, because they're easy to get and they're really good, are like pork chops.
Yeah.
Pork chops are kind of my new favorite thing to barbecue.
I love pork chops. So do you brine them first?
You know, I don't, but I'm going to try that because everyone raves about it.
I shouldn't tell you should, but really try it because it transforms the whole meal.
It kind of is a game changer. What I tend to do with chicken that's not necessarily brining, but I might do that too. But one of my friends who was from Charleston, South Carolina, and she'd say, oh, Tommy, you're not cooking your chicken right.
What was the matter with your chicken?
She said, oh, it's dry. And I said, well, I loved her, so I could put up with that.
Mm-hmm.
But what she would do, what her family would do, what the peoples would do, was they would, their people would drop it in a boiling water, and then it would get all the fat, sort of render a lot of the fat off the skin. It would totally plump up the chicken, and then they would take it out of the boiling water once it plumped and turned, you know, cooked a little bit of a cooked color, not totally thoroughly cooked. And then they would put it on a cooling rack to drip dry.
Okay.
And then they would grill that. And then they would put all their spices and stuff on it. And so what happened is...
And so it was juicy.
It was really juicy. And because there's enough water and plumpness in the chicken, it didn't char.
Interesting.
It was, and
I've
worked.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
I know. Well, you didn't know Palmer Peebles probably, did you?
No, I didn't.
Right.
I did not. But I like the idea of doing that. And the brine, I think, is just a little bit different. It adds a little bit of flavor.
Yeah.
As well, if you put, you know, peppercorns. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I put cloves or juniper berries in it as well.
Nice.
Which adds a little bit of flavor and a little bit of aroma. And gosh, we're already done. We're out
dang
of time.
And dang it, dang
did
it.
Did you have one more thing you wanted to say?
Well, only that it's been a pleasure.
It's always a pleasure.
You and I talking about food, it could be a two-hour show and we wouldn't,
Well, Tom, you're kind of becoming a regular for me, and that's just really, I really appreciate your friendship, and I appreciate your ability to cook and your ability to entertain me and to rescue me at the last moment. Thank you so much for coming.
It is my pleasure.
I really appreciate it.
Thank you for letting the listeners know that I'm regular. That is awesome.
Well,
a regular. I'm sorry.
Well, you keep talking about your senior citizen status.
Oh, my God. I'm feeling it this this last 2 years. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I think I'm going down a road.
Well, we all are, and there's not much we can do about it. So we just got to grill every chance we can
exactly.
this summer because, you know.
It's youthful activity.
Might be your last summer, Tom.
Might be my last cob.
You better get that juicy chicken
cob.
Going.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
No more Figgy Cheese
Thank
Bombs for me.
Thank you, listeners, for listening to us, and we look forward to next week. We'll be back next Wednesday with a pretty exciting guest, and I hope you'll tune in then. If you can't tune in, go to the website, www.vashon.org, Stirring the Pot. Thank you. See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.